I think that there's often a bit of a joke about the New Yorkers that come up to Hudson, and because you can live in an apartment building with 6,000 people in it and never know your neighbors or the person that lives next door to you on your floor. So I think people come up as myself and enjoy the sense of community that they have not experienced as a New Yorker. I've always been passionate about historic preservation. The farmhouse that my partner and I bought in 1990 was absolutely a wreck. There was no plumbing, no electricity. The sills were all rotten, the roof was shot. So I think I have a soft place in my heart for great old architecture in need of a friend. In, I think it was 1995, the Hudson Opera House, which was a nascent organization at the time, created a community input program where individuals got together to sort of chart the future of Hudson. And there were different groups. There was a group for economic development. There was a group for all types of things that would be important to the growth of a city. And I started attending the meetings, and because I felt so strongly about this idea of a preservation organization in Hudson, and there was an architecture committee, and I joined that committee, and I think we just saw the value of the architecture in Hudson and felt that it needed to be protected and understood. We advocated tirelessly for the Plum Bronson House and actually saved it for a time. We were involved and responsible, I think, for the most part, for it becoming a National Historic Landmark in 2003 as a result of our advocacy for the building and exposing it to the public and to the state and to the preservation office. We worked in conjunction with the Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to have it nominated, and then it became a National Historic Landmark in 2003, which is the highest level of designation for a historic property. The house was built by Samuel Plum. He was a local merchant. He owned a fleet of tugboats, so he was prosperous, and he was a friend of some of the original proprietors. So in 1805, I think, or somewhere around that time, he bought this beautiful piece of land, this bluff overlooking the South Bay of the city of Hudson, from Thomas Jenkins, who was the founder of the city of Hudson. And he built this magnificent Federal House with dependencies. It was painted by William Guy Wall as part of his Hudson River portfolio. I'm a little sketchy on this, but the McIntyre family was the last family that owned the property. They were related to the Livingstons. They owned it for a number of years, and they conveyed part of the lands to the state of New York. And I think this was in the 1890s, and that's when this first Women's House of Refuge was built. I think the idea of social programs for the less fortunate was a new and exciting idea in American culture. I think among the upper classes of America, this was of interest. So the land was conveyed to the state, and the two maiden McIntyre sisters had a life tenancy to the property. They could live there until their death. We have some wonderful images of the McIntyre sisters on the property, of the McIntyre family on the property. And I think once the house was conveyed to the state, when the McIntyre sisters were deceased, it simply sat there abandoned until the 1930s, when I think the Girls Training School, or the House of Refuge, I don't exactly know the date when it went from being the House of Refuge to the Girls Training School, but it sounds like the culture of semantics to me. There was a group of women or instructors or a superintendent that wanted to restore the house and have it be a program for the training school, where part of the program was home arts. There are actually some images of the work that they did in the 30s in the Senate Library up in Albany. When the prison acquired the land, the house was scheduled for demolition. The state and the Columbia County Historical Society stepped in and saved it. I think it was going to be used as a controlled burn exercise for firefighters. It still was not utilized and sat abandoned and was used for storage and as a dump site. Unfortunately, in the 80s, the porch was removed, so we lost the porch. But for the most part, most of the original historic fabric is there, and inside is a treasure trove of remarkable architectural detail and innovative ideas put forth by A.J. Davis. It's a pretty exciting interior still today.